two of those that were in the adult teaching classes. As we've looked at Romans, we've looked at what is called the gospel or the good news of God. And it had to do with a problem we all have, a problem called sin and judgment. And it has to do with a person, however, who can save us from that problem. Romans 1:3 says concerning his son, Jesus Christ. So it's not a church is the answer, it's a person, God's son, who was born at the time people call Christmas. And then it has to do with a performance for our sins. And not anything you and I do, it's called the redemption that is in Christ Jesus in Romans 3:24. That is the payment for sin when he shed his blood on the cross. But this morning in Romans chapter 4, we're all going to so see that the gospel of God that saves us has to do with a promise. A promise. Let me read some select verses from Romans chapter 4. Let's look at verse 1. Romans 4 and verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Then I want to jump down, if you would, to verse 13. Romans 4 and verse 13, still speaking of Abraham. It says, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, to the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which be of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Then you go down, if you would, to verse 17. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. And I've heard you sing this, young people. In fact, one of the first songs Thursday night that you sung, the first Thursday night I was here, was Father Abraham. And here's where you get this from, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And God has blessed the reading of his word. I want to talk about a promise today. When we talk about God's gospel, God's good news, it also has to do with a promise. Now, you know Christmas time has to do with promises sometimes. Somebody will call up and they'll say, I'll be home for what? I'll be home for Christmas. They give you a promise, don't they? And you look forward to seeing that person. Some of you might talk somebody into giving you a special gift. Maybe you know that. And you'll say, they promised me that gift. And so Christmas time can be a time when you look for promises to be fulfilled. Well, there are a couple ways that people make promises in the Bible and today. Now, one of the ways people make promises is like this. Say parents tell their children, you know, Saturday, Mom and Dad are going to take you out for all the pizza and ice cream you can eat. If you never fight when you run into it. If you get perfect scores on your test at school. If you make your bed without a wrinkle. If you never show an attitude when I tell you to wash the dishes. Mom and Dad will take you out for all the pizza and ice cream on Saturday. Think you'll ever get that promise? You see, that kind of promise in the Bible is called law. It means there's rules you have to do to get it. And therefore, the promise is really not a gift, but a reward for the good you did. Now, that is the way sometimes God made promises to people, such as Israel. He said, you'll be a very special nation. You'll be my priestly nation if you obey all my words and keep my covenant. And so it was like a reward. And when that happens, the Bible says that's law. That is, you get something if you keep all the rules. And so when God makes a promise like that, remember the three-letter word, law, you only get it if you keep all the rules. And in your case, you wouldn't see that pizza and ice cream. But But let's change it. Let's say mom and dad simply say to you, come Saturday, Lord willing, we'll pick you up for all the pizza and ice cream you can eat. Period. How will you get it? If they're faithful to their word, you'll get it because you see, now the promise is not based on the rules you have to do, but it's based on the gift, the grace, their kindness that they're going to give you. Now when God makes a promise that way, he doesn't call it law, he simply calls it promise. Now to help us understand the gospel, that he has something for you and me through his son that we've been hearing about, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a promise for you and I. But to help us understand, he says, what does the scripture say about Abraham? You see, God gave Abraham something. And he didn't give it to him by law, by all the rules he did. He gave it to him by promise. So that you and I, when we talk about Father Abraham, we'll see that the same way Abraham got the promise is the same way you and I get it. You see, Abraham was an old man. He was over 80 when this happened. His wife was 10 years younger. She was in her 70s. His wife's name was Sarah, and she could never have babies. The Bible says Sarah was barren. Not only barren, she was now in her 70s. Her husband was in her 80s. And God appears to Abraham, and he says, you're going to have a seed. That means an offspring, descendant. And I'm going to give it to you right from your own body. Abraham said, I don't know how this will be. But my wife's old, and I'm older. And God said, would you step outside? And it was a clear night in the Mideast. And he stepped outside, and God said, look at all the stars in the heaven. If you can count them, he says, look at all those stars. And then God made a five-word promise. Here it is. God said, so shall thy seed be. In other words, what comes from your body, the children that's going to come from your body, will be as many as the stars in the sky. God made him a promise. So shall thy seed be. Five words. What time does this happen? Abraham could have said, well, that's a nice promise, but I don't think you can ever do it. Look how old I am. But he trusted God. He believed in the Lord. God, if you said it, it has to be true, because you can't lie. The Bible says in Genesis 15:6 that he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And that day, God declared Abraham, you're right, you're ready for the inheritance, we say today, you're ready for heaven, because you trusted me. Tell you what Abraham didn't do that night. He didn't even move a muscle. He didn't reach into his pocket and say, here's some money for the poor God. He didn't crawl on his knees to some holy city. He just stood there, and in his heart, he trusted God. God said, there's all the stars. So shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now God says he's the pattern. The way Abraham got the promise is the way you and I get the promise. You see, Abraham, he got older, and he got to be 100, and his wife was 90. And one day, God opened up his womb of his wife Sarah, as she conceived by Abraham. And even though Abraham was 100 and she was 90, she had a baby boy. You know what she named that baby boy? Isaac. What does Isaac mean? Laughter. She was so happy. She said, who would ever said that Abraham would give me a child in my old age? But God said it. And God kept his promise. You see, Abraham got it not by rules he had to keep, but he got it by a promise. God says, I'll give you a baby. And God did. And when Abraham believed God, that's check it. Without moving a muscle, without crawling on his knees, Abraham was saved. He was declared righteous. He was justified before God. Now listen to what Romans says here. Let me read verse 24, verse 22, Romans 4 and verse 22. It says, and therefore it, that is his faith, was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. God just didn't tell us this story so Abraham could get to heaven someday. He said, look, grandfather, I'm in the Bible. I wrote for you. I wrote it for you so you could see the way to be saved. Look what he goes on to say in verse 24 of Romans 4. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, that is, God will declare us righteous, who write on our record book, right before God. wonderful thing if you're a sinner and under God's judgment, and we are. If he'll write right before God. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. God is making us a promise today. It's not that you're going to have a lot of babies. The promise is that you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Listen to John 3:15. Best known verse in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, now here's the promise, if you believe in him, you should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God doesn't ask you to join a church. He doesn't ask you not to do certain things or to do so many good works. He says, if you believe in him, that is God who gave Christ as a sacrifice for your sin and mine, you should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the reason God can save us and make us righteous too, or declare us righteous, is because the Lord Jesus was delivered for our offenses. All the sins that offend him, all the sins that upset God, you know, we offend God. The Lord Jesus paid for those sins. He bore those sins on the cross. And then he was raised again for our justification. God accepted him. And because God accepted him as right, God will accept us as right if we're connected to the Lord Jesus. And so God will today give us the gift of righteousness, to use Romans 5 language. To use Romans 6:23 language, the gift of eternal life. Now remember something about a gift. Many of you will be giving gifts, won't you? It's free to you. You know somebody had a faith. Wasn't free to everybody. And though God offers you eternal life and righteousness this morning, someone had to pay for it, and that was someone, the one you were up there talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was born, he was the Lord of the sinner. And he hung on that cross, we heard, and shed his blood for our sin, the Bible says. Christ died for our sin. Because he did, there's nothing left to pay. There's nothing left to do. And so God is giving the gift today, not by law. He's not saying if you want to get to heaven, you've got to do this and do that, or not do this. No, he's giving it by promise, just like Abraham. Because God gave it to him by promise, Galatians 3:18. You see, Abraham, the father of many nations, he just looked up that night and believed God. And God has told us that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Lord. He's risen from the dead. He died for us. And God says, you trust me. Will not perish. You will have everlasting life. That's when you get saved. That's when you are righteous. Saved, God. Not by law, but by promise. Not what you have to do to get it. But God will keep his word, and if you take the Lord Jesus, he'll give you everlasting life. No wonder it's called good news. You know, I have something in my pocket. Some of you know what it is. Some people, maybe you've seen it already. I'm going to illustrate with this. My dad in New York, you told me to give some of these away. These American $2 bills. Now I'm going to give you two ways to get this $2 bill. One way, we call it law. If you can, in 60 seconds, do 500 perfect push-ups, I'll give you this. But there's another way I'll give it to you. If you will simply come up and take it, I promise you, I'll give it to you for nothing. Which, but no, 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 no. First, I got to ask a question. Which way do you want? I'm going to give you two choices. Yes, which way do you want? Okay. Yes. No push-up? Yes. Why don't you want to do 500 push-ups? If what? Yeah. And why wouldn't you do the other one? Could you do 500 push-ups? I'm just hanging there a minute, okay?
Hang in there a minute.
She says she's going to do three. You see, the problem is, the problem is, we can't keep God's name. And you can't get it by law. The Bible says God is holy, God is perfect. It says, whosoever keepeth the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. James 2:10. You can't live a perfect life. That's what a holy God would require. We can't get it that way. All we got to realize, we can't realize. I want it the other way. God will give it by promise. He promises if you trust Christ, you'll not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the promise now is
that you can have it if you'll simply take it. Now, maybe that's the promise. Okay? You will come up and take it at church. If you don't, somebody else gets it. Don't use your decision.
Now, as she comes up, there's one more thing.
One more thing. I'm going to turn my back. Okay. Turn my back here.
The Bible calls eternal life a gift, alright? So the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, isn't it? But you know where that eternal life is? I'm going to quote verses to you and to the whole audience, alright? 1 John 5:10 says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record God gave of his Son. It goes on to say, and this is the record God gave of his Son, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now eternal life is in Jesus Christ, who became flesh, who died on the cross, he's risen, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people want eternal life today. They say, God, give me eternal life. They never trust the Lord Jesus. They never believe his promise. You ask them, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. I'm doing what I can. Well, the promise is, if you believe in him, you'll not perish, but have everlasting life. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous. And when you trust the promise, that is the God who made the promise, that it's in Christ died for your sins, and the Lord Jesus rose again, and you receive him as your Lord and Savior, then God gives you eternal life, because Christ paid for your sins. If you want this $2 bill, it's in something. You gotta take what it's in. Of course, you're giving me my Bible back, but for illustration. You gotta take what it's in to get it. You cannot get the gift unless you take what it's in. It's in the Bible. This Bible is a picture of the Lord Jesus. If you want eternal life, you must take Christ. Now, the best known verse in the Bible. What is it? For God so loved the world. Yeah. You turn to that, see if the $2 gift is there. You turn, if you know where that verse is. Show them. Show them their gift. And it was in God's love. You're welcome. Alright, before we close, that's a picture of God's salvation, boys and girls. The Lord Jesus came. He died for your sins. You don't get it by law, but you get it by promise. That promise is in the Lord Jesus. He died for your offense and was raised again for your justification. If you'll take the Lord Jesus, young people or older people this morning, you'll have why he was really born. Will not perish, but is had everlasting life. Now I've got two more, and they're not taking back to grandpa, but I'm going to give them to you a little different. I'm going to go over this side right here. Tell me what it is when you get something by law. Tell me what it is when you get something by law. Somebody gives you what they mean when I say it. Another man here. Follow the rules. You're absolutely right. The God gives his salvation by the law of those that we receive. So we get it by promise. Tell me what it means to get something by promise over here. What does it mean? But the person's going to give you the gift, right? You got it. Okay. So as we close in prayer, remember why the Lord Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God can't lie. And if you'll trust God and the Lord Jesus, he'll save you even this morning and give you eternal life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that there's nothing we can do, for he died for our sins. But there's a promise we can trust, that is, we can trust thee who made the promise. And believe thee, even though we can't see the Lord Jesus, that he died for our offenses, raised again for our justification. We pray in all the Christmas busyness as was already brought before us, that we'll be sure we're saved, and we've not called thee a liar, but we've trusted the Lord Jesus, thy Son, and as Lord and Savior. And so now we commit this word this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some might need to be saved, and there's a gift in Christ Jesus our Lord as we pray in his name. Amen.